Season 2.
You do.
I would yell it. No, I can't. It's all spiky. It's like, season 2.
Well, you can yell it.
I really did yell Rune Week that one time, and it worked out fine. So.
Season 2!
Okay, fine.
Season 2, everyone. You made it. You made it. This is Faded Mates Season 2. Do you know Eric told me this week that he waits until I say welcome to Faded Mates, everybody, every week? And sometimes I think last week we didn't say welcome to Faded Mates until like 12 minutes in. He was like, fine. Anyway, we still haven't figured it out. It's season 2. We still don't know how to podcast.
I gotta tell you guys, if it wasn't for Eric, I'm not even sure we'd have had season 1. I know we wouldn't have, not even sure.
Do you remember we recorded the first one and we were like, it's fine, we're gonna produce this ourselves. And then
I'm a liar, lying lies.
Went to Eric and I was like, can you just help me understand how to edit stuff in GarageBand? And he was like, you need a producer.
Shit. It's right. Honestly, we were fools, right. Everybody. That's like the long story short here.
We were. I mean, that's not true because if all the other podcasts that we love produce their own shit, we just are lazy. Yeah, and lucky. Well, and lucky. By lazy, I meant lucky.
Oh, that's what I meant too, for sure. Like, for sure.
It's been a few weeks that listeners haven't had us specifically, but it's been like 2 months since you and I have recorded a podcast.
I know. It's wild.
So anyway, welcome everyone. I'm so glad that we're back, and I'm so glad you're back with us, and I hope many of you are back with us for season 2. We're going to tell you all about it this episode. But first, we hope that you have been reading great books over the end of your summer. We hope you had lazy days.
I know. We're in a reading slump, everybody.
It's the worst. I really am in a reading slump. I can't snap out of it. And here's the problem is, like, I've started reading a bunch of romance novels that I know are good.
Yeah.
And I, like, can't snap out of it, which I think at some point we should talk about that, like, what a reading slump really is, because I think we all go through them. But, like, I don't want to even name the romance novels that I've tried to read over the last month because I don't want anybody to think that I'm – it's definitely a me problem and not a them problem.
Right. Not the books. It's, yeah. I actually feel like I might be pulling out of mine. And I feel like one thing that works for me is, well, I stopped and actually read literary fiction, which it was a book I liked. It was called There, There by Tommy Orange. But sometimes that helps, like, just, like, really, like, getting off the romance train entirely and then coming back to it, especially if it's like a sad book. You're like, oh, yes, that's not good for me right now. But inside romance, sometimes also what works for me is like switching to a different subgenre. So I read Deadly Silence by Rebecca Zanetti this week. I don't read tons of romantic suspense. And so because of that, it felt like really fresh and different. And I really enjoyed it. And now I feel like maybe I get to try some of my other things. Also, I read that real amazing Dirty Book by Brill Harper that you recommended to me.
Yeah. Brill Harper snapped me out of a romance slump in 2017. That's when I discovered her. And she's so filthy. And I just love it. And, like, the books are quick and dirty. And, like, they're not complicated. And they don't try to do more than what they should be doing. And I just – they're delicious. And so, yeah, I wish that I had Brill Harper to snap me out of this. but you know what? I really do love that Rebecca Zanetti book. And here's a fun fact about it. When they put that book out, and I forget who her publisher is, they put it out with two covers. It had a different cover in print than it did in E.
Huh.
And
Grand Central.
I have always meant to sort of ask the question out loud, like, was that useful? Like, did it function the way that they hoped that it would function?
Interesting.
Anyway, so if you are from Grand Central or you know Rebecca and you know the answer to that, hit me up and let me know, because I think that's a really interesting – like, I do think that covers in E and covers in print do different things. Like, I think the design should be a little different. And I say that as somebody who, like, has spent a lot of time over the last couple of years thinking about her own books and the covers and how they look in, like, a tiny little icon size versus big. Like, I've actually – you know this. I've seen the preliminary cover for Daring and the Duke, which is the next book in the Bare Knuckle Bastards series. And, like, I love it big, but, like, small, we had to make some changes. And it's really a weird world when you have to think about format when, like, I mean, when you have to think about what is essentially art in two vastly different sizes.
That's really interesting. Have you ever listened to that? Okay, this is what that reminds me of. Have you ever listened to this really interesting podcast once? It was like a single episode. I'll find it, where the guy talks about how hard it is to design flags.
Was that on an episode of 99% Invisible?
Maybe.
Is that possible? 99% Invisible is like my favorite podcast. Besides,
it was fascinating because he is basically like... But yeah, so anyway, because the whole thing is like, you know, flags are often really scaled down to like a, like
to an emoji. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. To a smaller. So yeah, that was like, it kind of reminds me of that. And Kelly talks about it all the time because she designs buttons. And she's like, you know, people think you can just slap any old thing on a button, but like the scale of it is really specific. So I'm sympathetic to that being hard. It was a great book. Rebecca Zanetti was a great book. I had the paperback, actually. I think I got it from Book Outlet.
I know. I saw a picture. I drunk texted Jen in the middle of the night the other day, and she was like, fun for you. I'm lying on my couch reading this book. And I only saw half the cover, and I knew exactly what the book was. And then I yelled at her and told her to tell all of you guys that I'm so good at romance novel identification that I could do it three sheets to the wind, as my mother would.
Now that you've told everybody about it, I'm going to screenshot that and put it in show notes because it's the funniest fucking text I've ever seen. You were like, tell everyone on Twitter. And I was like, I think if I do that, you're going to be real mad at me, Sarah.
Here's the thing. What I realized while drunk in a bar, you guys, I don't go out very much. I don't know what happened, but it was a night. And I was in this bar, in this dive bar that my husband and I have not been in since 15 years ago. But we were in this dive bar drinking just terrible but very strong drinks. And I realized while texting Jen, while drunk texting Jen about romance novels, that if you write in all caps, which I want to do when I am drunk, autocorrect does not function the way that it does when you are writing in proper grammatical case.
Yeah, iPhones just are not gonna, they're not auto-correcting your drunk all caps texting.
No, but then, like, so anyway, this, it's just a PSA. If you're gonna drunk text people, do it without caps. Eric was, like, looking over my shoulder, and he was like, so you know you could just push the red line underneath, and it'll tell you what the correct word, and I was like, I'm too busy telling her about my romance noveling.
Oh my God, that's
anyway,
amazing.
That's life, you guys. That's life with me. I bet you all wish that I had your cell phone numbers now. Anyway.
Okay.
You do it.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I don't know what we're about to say. Oh, welcome to Faded Mates, everybody. Have we said that yet?
I don't think so. Welcome, everybody, to Faded Mates. It's season two.
It is.
So do you want to give a recap for our new listeners about what last season was?
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe you're just going to tune in now and you're going to miss one whole glorious season of us talking about romance novels. So it started off with us deciding we should do a read-along podcast of Cressley Cole's Immortals After Dark series.
We still think is fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, you should all listen to it. And we welcome listeners who have never read the books listening. I feel like, go for it. People did that. We thought they were awesome.
We thought they were bizarre. But in like an awesome way.
But awesome. Yeah. For sure. My brother was one of those people and he was just like, blood blowjobs. And I was like,
can I tell you, I love that your brother did that. Like, I love that your brother did that. I mean, to be fair, so did Eric. And, oh, as part of our drunk texting, and this can go in the spreadsheets too, he was also a little bit tipsy, you guys, the other night. And he launched into, kind of unsolicited, launched into a, like, loud diatribe about how, obviously, Lila's, like, old reincarnated self was in the wrong when Cian cut his horns off, and he was only 16 and she was culpable. Like, they were definitely, I was right. Essentially, I was right and Jen was wrong.
And you were, and like, can you believe that? And I was like, well, yes, I can believe that he would take your side.
No, he's never taken my side on any other form of media. I don't know why he would start with demon horns. But it was amazing because he was like, he was so impassioned about it. And he was like, listen, men suck. I'm not denying that. Like, yeah, most of the time we're completely in the wrong, but he cut his horns off for her. He mutilated himself for her because she basically told him that he wasn't good enough when he had him. It was amazing. It was incredible. And I just want everyone to know that Eric has never read a word of Cressley Cole, but he has listened to every podcast. So
yeah, probably more than once. He's like, I'm so tired of listening to you guys talk about it. No, it was amazing and you should listen. But every other week we had an interstitial episode where we talked about romance based on trope or theme. And the best part about that is in the beginning, if you listen to the very first ones, they were like 10 or 15 minutes long because that's what we are going to do is just going to be a little quick thing. But then they, of course, turned into, no, just hour-long explorations of an entire... You're going to learn a lot about romance by listening to us, and we're funny. That's all you need to know.
I also think it's important for our past listeners to understand that, like, right, that we appreciate that the early interstitials on this episode were much shorter. Well, on this series were much shorter and didn't deep dive as much into why the trope worked. And so we're going to come back around to a couple of them, especially curvy heroines, because fun fact, over the summer, we pulled a bunch of data on search terms and how people are finding fated mates. And curvy heroines is like our number one search term.
Yeah. So, and that was definitely a short one. And that is one I could talk about every year, probably.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Fair enough.
So, ultimately, here's where we're at. We did IAD. We hear you. We've seen you guys saying, like, oh, we want you to do another big series. We want you to do Nalini. We want you to do Christine Fionn. We'd want you to do Gina Showalter. Thank you. And we love you for those suggestions, but no. I think we're done, at least for now, with a full series reread. Right? I think we could say, like, for foreseeable future. Yeah. It was fascinating. Also, we're going to link in show notes to my interview with the Wicked Wallflowers, where I talked about how Fated Mates, I think, made me a better writer. So, I mean, like, I want to thank all of you for, like, listening to Jen and I noodle, because the reality is that, like, I really think it made me a better romance writer last season. And I hope this season will do the same.
Well, I think it made me a better romance critic. So I think that you and I both feel that way. Like, there's a lot of... Yeah,
benefited heavily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Agreed. So that all said... This year, we're going to keep interstitials. They're not going away because we love them and we love talking to new authors and reading other books and, like, talking about what works in romance and why. But every 2 weeks, Jen and I are going to bring you a deep dive read of A Book That Blooded Us.
I am so excited about this idea. You have no idea.
I'm thrilled that we were able to retain an homage to Cressley. So that's what it's going to be. So basically, we're going to talk a little bit this week. This is the intro episode to the series, to the season. It's going to be shorter. It won't be an hour long. But we're going to talk a little bit about what we mean by that, the books that blooded us. So obviously, in this scenario, Jen and I are Lothair. And these books are Ellie. Possibly Soroya. We're not sure. And we're going to go back and forth. Some of them we categorically adore. Right? Like,
yeah.
The first book that we're going to read, we categorically adore. Like, there's no question yes. that we don't love it. Some of the books we're going to read are books that, like, were, Jen hates this term, but seminal texts. primordial, like primordial texts for us,
yeah.
like books that made us love the romance genre, that established some like probably kind of weird like itches like to get scratched when we read books. And we're going to talk, and many of the books we have the list. It's like almost it's 22 it's like, books long, I think.
I think so.
But we just added another one yesterday. I don't know. We're not going to post the whole list. We're going to post them in groups so that you'll know kind of like where we're going. But essentially, we're going to talk. A lot of these books are old school romances published before 2000, before 2010. And so there are going to be sort of things that we get to unpack about how the genre has evolved, what the problematic pieces of the genre have been and still are. We're going to talk a whole lot about patriarchy and alphas and point of view. Jen's going to get very excited about point of view over the course of this series. But we're going to talk about, but some of the books are new. Some of the books are books that we've read in the last couple of years. And we already have an idea for season three. So we're at least in this, I think, for another 2 years. What does it mean? The books that blooded us.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, one of the things that it was really an interesting, like Sarah and I, it was kind of like we were naming a baby. Like we each came up with our own list and then sort of exchange lists. And then it was kind of like some things were the same, right? Some were like books I'd never read on her list and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. We kept all the books that we'd never read.
Yeah. Yeah.
We kept any book from Jen's list that I had never read and any book from my list that she had never read. And we kept most of the ones that were the same.
Yeah, right. And then there were some, like a lot of the negotiating actually was when we had the same author, but different texts, right? So it's Susan Elizabeth Phillips, but what book are we going to do or whatever? And because Sarah and I are pretty close in age, I actually think a lot of I think we have a very similar like history with the genre in terms of how and when we started reading it and what that looks like. So, you know, this would be a different list if we were 30 or a different list if we were 25. And but I think the thing that I found myself thinking about a lot as I made the list was that these were books that when I read them changed how I thought about romance and what I thought romance could do and what kinds of characters romance was putting in front of me and what romance is like capable of. Right.
Yep.
So for me, it was very much, a lot of books that I like read and reread were some of them. And then some are books that I'm like a little nervous. I really haven't read them in a long time, but when I read them, I just remember being like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
That feels
I'm really excited about that. There are definitely books on my list that I haven't read in a long time. And I'm really excited about going back to them and like really unpacking why they were so. I've talked about this. I've used the word id so much over the course of Fated Mates. I feel like what we're about to do is get where we saw Cressley doing this kind of like constant sort of picking at pure id for me. We're going to start to unpack all the ways that romance as a genre does that. So as you say, these are the books that taught me what romance could do. Absolutely. And I think for me as a writer, these are the books that taught me the rules, like what a romance should achieve for the reader. Right. Like, and I think all the time about the fact that, you know, and I say really publicly, like, it shouldn't take you longer than 6 hours to read my books. If it does, like, I've done something wrong. That's because all of these books are books that I can remember like staying up late to read or
to
like
read.
Desperately wanting to come home from school to read
to finish,
or books that I got in trouble in geography for like sticking inside my book during class because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And right. why is that? And so I think some of these books are going to have like really purple prose, and some of these books are going to have head hopping, and some of these books are going to have real consent questions. And
oh, we will, for sure.
You know, try to flag that up front, although we haven't read all of them in a long time. So, yeah. But so we are, so just my one piece of advice as we move forward is when we start announcing the books, that you think carefully, that if you are somebody who needs content warnings, that you think about like, okay, well, we'll tell you what the publication date is. And if it's published before, say, 2000, you need to just go into it prepared for there to be potentially problematic content. I mean, not massive amounts of it. I don't think we've put anything on the page that is, like, truly problematic, but at least one of mine, like, the hero walks right up to the line.
Like, there's all that-ish, right? All that. I'm also really interested in, like, my own evolution as a reader and the way that I think about, like, characters and, like, their privilege in terms of, like, their racial identity or their class, right? When I was first reading romance when I was a teenager, I didn't really think about that stuff at all, and I think about it a lot now. Mm. So I'm really interested in, like, sort of my, like, the way I've changed as a reader, like, reading romance, right? I think that the other thing that I will like say, and it feels a little like a mea culpa, is part of me was really afraid to put books on the list that I haven't read in a long time. Right. Yeah. Cause it was honestly, you guys, I trust Sarah entirely, but it was even hard to send you my list.
Yeah.
It really felt like I was like peeling back my entire soul and showing it to someone.
Yeah.
And that
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful soul, you guys.
Okay, thank you. But it feels risky, right? Yeah. To say like, I loved this thing, because it's hard to want to go back and then be like, okay, what did it mean about me that I loved it then, or I still love it now? Or
yeah. Right?
But I think that's like the interesting work that romance does, is like, it's so personal, and yet it also is a reflection on society.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we don't get enough credit for as a genre.
Right.
And I also think I'm very interested in, all summer, I actually just wrote a piece for Kirkus about like sort of romance's history of, you know, the Trailblazers thing happened at RWA. Like, one thing I really struggle with is this feeling that like problematic content in romance gets like thrown down the memory hole, right? Like, it's just problematic, so we shouldn't read it anymore.
Mm.
And I feel instead like, okay, it was problematic and it's part of our history. Like, let's dive into what that means and where we are with it now.
And here's the thing. The question that has to be asked always is, was it problematic then? Mm-hmm. Is it dealt with as problematic in the text? If it was, you know, and I think about the Flame and the Flower all the time, because I get asked about it all the time. We are not reading the Flame and the Flower. You're welcome, everyone. We're not putting you through that. But like, you know, and I think I may have even said this on the podcast before, but, you know, Heather gets raped 4 times by Brandon, the hero, in the first 100 pages of The Flame and the Flower. And that's unconscionable. And it could not be written today. However, she never once like cuts him slack. She calls it rape in her mind. Yeah. She calls it rape to his face. She refers to him as a rapist. Like, there are these very powerful moments in the text where both the reader, the narrator, and the heroine all acknowledge the problematic behavior at a time in society where a husband could not rape a wife legally. Right? Yeah. So when you have that conversation in 1972 and think about it as a book from 1972, are we lauding the rapist, or are we saying something about the relationship between men and women at that time? And I don't know the answer. It's just, I think, a worthy question.
Yeah, I do too.
I also think like nobody says now, like, reads Flame and the Flower for the first time in 2019 and is like, this is my favorite romance novel. I mean.
Right. Sure. Right.
For lots of reasons.
Right. You read it. I mean, I think that's, I'm also just really interested. I feel like I've said this before, but I'm like really interested in the way in which, you know, like in other mediums, in TV or in movies, right? Like there's a way in which people can like watch problematic content from the past and acknowledge it's still like its role in the genre as a whole, yeah, or in the medium as a whole. And I think that's, I'm interested in like approaching romance that way, but kind of through the lens of like my own reading history. I think that's what season two is about, right? When we talk about books that flooded, mm-hmm, us, it's like the best of what romance does is like, who are we as readers then and now? And then like, who are we as a genre then and now? I feel like we talk, yeah, about that first one a lot. I think you and I are really interested in talking about that second one in season two.
Yeah. And we are going to we're going to have lots of fun with listeners this year, because the books that blooded us are not the books that blooded you. And we want to hear about the books that blooded you. And we're figuring out ways that we can make sure that gets into the season, that all, yeah, of your books get into the season as well. So do you want to talk about what the book is that we're starting with?
I mean, anybody who knows this knows
I feel like everybody's in their car right now going, we know already.
Dreaming of You. It's Derek Craven, of course.
Of course it is. Of course it's Derek Craven. You guys, we haven't talked about Dreaming of You on an interstitial even, I don't think.
No, I mean, we mention it a lot, but we've never talked about
it. Right. We talk about it the way, like, people talk about Superman in comic book world. Like, everyone just knows, like, who that is, yeah, and how we. But we're going to deep dive. We have reread it. Jen, for everybody, Jen doesn't know this yet, but there is a Moonstruck moment in this book, too. And I'm very excited about asking for Eric to slide that in to audio. yeah, we're going to talk about Dreaming of You. It's written by Lisa Kleypas. It was published in 1994. 1993, 1994, 1995 are like, there's something in the water in romance during that period of time. Several of the books on our list are from that time. Yep. And it feels like many, many of the texts that people point to as like the best or the foundational texts of the genre, of the modern genre, live in that 3-year period. And so actually, I want to spend a little time talking about what was happening in the world then, because not right now, but during the episode.
Right, during that episode. Yeah, you know what? It's also really interesting. And maybe this is for next time, too. But I was in college, and that was sort of the point at which I really switched over from reading almost all category romances to no category romances. So I think, like, you know, and I didn't read as much, of course. I was in college, right? Like, I don't think I read. Yeah. I did not read Dreaming of You when it came out. I read it at some later point, and I don't know when that was.
Yeah, I didn't know about Lisa until, I mean, I was living with Eric. So we were in our old apartment. So it was probably the mid thousands, like 2005, 2006. That was, I came to Lisa late, but I found Dreaming of You. And then I remember ordering them all from Amazon and them coming in a huge box. Like, and it came, and Eric was like, what is this? And I opened it up, and it was like 25 Lisa Kleypas books. I had spent $300 on books that
you were like, I got to do it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think our plan is, you know, we'll have an interstitial. We'll start with Dreaming of You in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Next week's interstitial. Get ready, y'all.
I think then we have, what we'll probably do, I think we have the first four or five books, the order for the first four or five ready to go. And so when we announce this, I'll put in show notes just sort of like kind of a reading order for like the first five, maybe, just so people can like prepare and plan ahead if that is, because it's less predictable, obviously, than just read the next IAD.
We're basically switching off, like vaguely, we're trying to sort of generally switch off between us, like books that I choose versus books that Jen chose. And then, so it's Dreaming of You, and then there's an old school that I really love, and there's a modern text that I really love in that mix. And you are doing, I forget what yours are, but so I think we'll be bouncing all around. This is going to be, it's going to be a fun season where you get to read a lot of like books that maybe you haven't read or haven't read in a long time. And we're actually going to spend some time, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but I feel like both of us really want to dig deep on why romance does the work that it does, like what that work is and how it achieves that work and how and does it all at the same, like in this way where we still feel like this primal delight in the reading.
I think it's not always the case, but a lot of these books are also like foundational, right? I mean, you're saying seminal, fine, but foundational in the sense that we still see like the echoes of it in books today. And when that's relevant, we'll sort of talk about that too. So it's really, it's not the history of romance because that's like too big for anyone to tackle, but.
And it's not the canon because we hate that.
No. And it's not the canon. It's at all, right? It's like really,
it's like
pretty
you
eclectic,
guys,
I would say.
There are thousands of you out there right now listening to us. Thank you so much. And you're going to see a little bit more of Jen and me, I think, this season than you did last season. Except for Rune Week. You saw a lot of me on Rune Week.
Well, and I think, hopefully, I think, too, you know, I think we're both really, I think we're proud to be romance readers. And I am very interested in us, like, as romance readers, like, both taking an honest look at our history, but also like talking, right? Like this, talking about like what it does really well. And so it's kind of like, what is romance doing through two people who love it deeply? I think that's kind of, you know, when we talk about books that blooded us. I mean, that's real. Like these are books that really like moved me in some way and changed me as a reader in some way. And, you know, I think that I'm really interested in how that all works like in the genre as a whole, because the genre is too big for any of us. So it's like, how do we swim around in this whole big ocean that is romance?
Yeah. Well, and I think we're going to do this warts and all style. Like, obviously, just as we did with IAD, like we called IAD out when we saw things that we didn't approve of in it. I expect that we will be doing even more of that now because of the time periods that we're tackling.
For sure.
But I also think, like, one of the things that we want to be very aware of is, you know, for a lot of readers, especially readers who are newer to the genre, there's this sort of sense that, like, we have to burn the books that started the genre because of all the content, because of content issues. Yeah. And, like, we don't have to burn those books because they really are formative texts. They're primordial texts.
And everyone's primordial texts would be different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think because, well, we'll talk about it as time goes on, right? I think that we're really...
But there's no shame in your... What we're getting at here is there's no shame in it. You guys love the books that you love, the books that blooded you. We want to hear about them. We're going to tell you about the books that blooded us. And we're all going to have a little moment... probably every episode where we're like, please, please don't judge me, but I love that part. And like, that's
right.
And I want to dig into that. Like, why do we love those parts so much? Is it biology? Is it patriarchy? Is it sexy? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
So we're going to get there. It's going to be really fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. The fact that I was afraid to send you my list, I think really, like, I don't want to be ashamed of anything.
I know. The fact that you would think that I would ever judge.
Right?
And here's the thing. I literally can't. I totally understand. And I like went over and over my list too. And what's fascinating about it is like in you and I don't think you and I have ever heard anyone say like, that's my favorite romance novel and judged them for it. I mean, like.
Oh, yeah. No.
Aside from, you know, Nazis or slave owners. Right. Like that's.
Sure.
Your favorite books, and these are, like, a lot of these are our favorite books, the books we – Jen always talks about, like, books that she keeps coming back to. Your favorite books are – it is, like, showing, you know, warts yeah. and all.
Yeah.
And so I'm super-duper excited because I think it's going to be a really great conversation. I can't wait for you all to start reading. And there is definitely – there is a lot to chew on in these books. So if you have never read Dreaming of You, go now to your nearest bookstore/library and get it done because Derek Craven is the dream.
And you know what? If Derek Craven is not your dream, I hope you'll still stick around. Right? Yeah. Like, just like there's no shame in what you love, there's also has to be like no shame in what you dislike.
No, it's true. So I guess
I'll just throw that out there. Feel free to not like it.
I mean, there are people who don't like Rune. I don't know. I don't understand them, but fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
Derek is a really Derek Craven is one of those heroes who, like, in 2019, it's a different experience, I imagine, reading him the first time. But I love him.
I mean, it's 25 years ago, right? 25 years.
Pay attention to Lisa's, like, as you're reading, just like revel in the way Lisa crafts a sentence is what I'm going to say.
Oh, God, yes. Whew.
All right.
You guys are so excited.
There's that. Next week, we're going to have a rage interstitial for those of you who, you know, love to hear us rage.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with Dreaming of You, Derek Craven, casino owner, and Sarah, his writer lady love. I mean, like, right there. Are you surprised this is my favorite romance novel or one of them? Love. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone. It's season 2. We're super excited to be back in your ear holes. And
for sure.
Don't forget to like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And say hi to us on Twitter @FadedMates, on Instagram @FadedMatesPod. Come see us at FadedMates.net. And also stay tuned for the full list of the first like 5 or 6 books that we're going to read. We'll post that on Instagram and on Twitter and in show notes and on the website. And what else? Am I forgetting anything? No.
Oh, go find something amazing to read. And then, for God's sakes, tell us about it. You're our slump busters, everybody.
Yeah, slump bust us. Okay.